don't get hype, we stay hype. You know it, bro.
You're listening to The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It is time to get hype on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome in to the NFL Hype Train, where we look at some of the reports telling us about people's being the greatest shape of their life, how they're ahead of schedule, and we ask each other, do we buy into the hype? So, first one on deck, Evan Engram, headline. He impresses, guys. Joint practices. Evan Engram was a standout during Jacksonville's final joint practice with the Buccaneers on Thursday. Zach Goodall of USA Today reports. Apparently had a really good connection with Trevor Lawrence during the practice and had his way. And look, Engram's an interesting case for fantasy football because obviously he's behind, you know, Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, Sam Laporta, the big group of tight ends, probably a few more. But Evan Engram, 114 catches last year. Like, I mean, where are you guys? Are you buying in on Evan Engram being a target for you this year in fantasy, or are you looking to either get one of the big dogs ahead of him or punt the position?
No, I mean, honestly, in all my mock drafts, I have been targeting Engram in, like, the sixth or seventh round. Like, I'm very much on the Engram hype train. The fact that he had 114 catches last year is like astonishing, especially if you have him in like a PPR league. And there's no more Calvin Ridley. My boy Christian Kirk can't stay healthy. Like, Engram could have a 1,000-yard season, I think, this year.
Yeah, I mean, here was the weird thing, though, because obviously 114 catches, amazing. But I don't know if I've seen many guys that have 114 catches and under 1,000 yards. And he also only had 4 touchdowns.
I was going to point that out.
He's obviously, if you're not in a full PPR, like, I like Engram. I have him on my dynasty team, which is a full PPR. But if it's not full PPR, I'm like, I'm going to either go for one of the big guys in front of him, or I'm just going to bypass those middle tight ends and wait and punt the position. Where are you at, Sean?
I'm with you where I just want touchdowns. Give me touchdowns. If I'm not going to have one of the big dogs at the position, I just want to get lucky on a week where you catch a pass and it just so happens to be in the end zone. Evan Engram doesn't really do that enough for me.
So you're not jumping on?
I am not on the hype train.
He's getting off the train.
Fine. I want him anyways.
Cam
guys,
is on the hype train.
You believe the hype.
All right. So another tight end. Let's talk about someone who, second half of the season, came out of nowhere. Like, second-year player Trey McBride, tight end for the Cardinals. Rookie year really didn't do much. First half of the season didn't do really much. But starting in week 8, he had a game where he had 10 catches for 95. If you look at some of his games, you know, falling after that, especially, obviously, once Kyler Murray got back. I mean, there, week 10, he's 8 for 131. Week 12, he's 7 for 60, 8 for 89, 10 for 102. Week 16 and 17, 6 catches each. Trey McBride is someone who took a big step forward. He was the first tight end drafted, I'm pretty sure, in his draft class 2 years ago. And I didn't think this was necessarily news, but the reporting, Jeremy Clough of the Arizona Republic reports that Trey McBride is number one on the depth chart. I think McBride showed the ability in the second half of the season, and he's attached to a quarterback good enough to put him in like top five tight end territory. But now they had Marvin Harrison Jr. So, I mean, you have to ask the question, like, when McBride went off, was it because he was the only weapon there? And is he going to drop off that now Marvin Harrison's there? Where are you guys at with Trey McBride? You buying the hype? You jumping in? Because his ADP is like top five. Are you willing to pay that price? Are you selling on that?
It's a tricky one because he played with Kyler in the beginning of the year and didn't do much. Then Kyler got hurt. Trey did some work. And then when Kyler came back, or towards the end of the year, Trey obviously like exploded. So it was a really weird like season to get a read on Trey. But outside of Marvin Harrison, there is no other real receiving threat. I mean,
how
I know.
How dare you disrespect the Dorch?
Yeah, exactly.
Michael Wilson.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for validating my point. So I am on the hype train.
That doesn't sound very convincing. This is hype segment, bro.
Okay.
More confidence.
I'm on the hype train for Trey McBride, but I honestly still feel like Evan Engram will have a better fantasy year.
Man, all aboard!
But I'm still on trade. I'm still on trade.
Is Evan Engram a family member? Man, you were really in on Evan Engram.
Those 114 catches for me
got you hot and bothered.
They in a PPR league, they it really enticed me.
Sean, where are you at with Trey McBride?
I'm not on the hype train for Trey
McBride. He's getting off the train.
I think he's a good player, but at the price, that's where
that's,
I'm at.
That's well, like, I fully expect the breakout to continue, but I'm not paying like fourth, fifth round prices for a tight end that's done it for half a season.
I was going to say, off of five good games.
With the unknown half of where his amount of targets go now that Marvin Harrison has returned.
That's why I kind of need some clarity on what exactly is the level of like hype. Like, do I think Trey is going to have a
Well, the level
good
of hype
season?
Is you're having to pay top five tight end prices.
Okay,
for
then
a guy
no.
that's done it half a season.
No, I was like on the hype train to say that he was going to have a good year and be like a seventh or eighth. Ranked tight end,
yeah,
but if you're talking
or,
top five,
seventh or eighth tight end doesn't even matter. I mean, that's part of the problem with tight end because, I mean, the position scores so few points to begin with. Like, when you look at the guys that are in the seventh and eighth tight end range, I'll try to pull up some names here here in a second. But when you look at guys that are in that range, seventh and eighth tight ends, they're not guys, even though they rank that way for the season, that when you look at their, like, week to week, they're not guys that that really do much for you. Week to week with the consistency that you would want. So,
like Goddard and...
Yeah, so, okay, it's pulling up for me right now. Right, last year, the tight end seven... Oh, actually, it was Trey McBride, and we just indicated half his season was garbage. He came on the second half of the year. Tight end number eight, Cole Kmet. Tight end nine was, in my update, I think it was Jake Ferguson. But, like, who was excited about, you know, Cole Kmet other than Joe George? And Jake Ferguson on your team last year at the tight end position. Like, once you get past tight end five, it doesn't... That's kind of the question. Like, you have to either spend a really big pick on tight end or just back away and punt it. Because the guys in the middle and late aren't worth anything.
Well, then, I guess, knowing that, I guess technically I would have to be off the Trey McBride hype train. I don't think he's going to be top five.
All right. So, let's get back into it. Next up here on the hype train, we got... Johnny Bell, do you have any thoughts on this? I didn't mean to skip past you completely.
No, that's okay.
Okay, all right.
he's just playing the drums.
I don't have any comments eighth or ninth tight end.
That was a little bit of commentary in the segment. John Belmer not buying the hype. I didn't like that. You got to up your juice, bro.
He's off the hype.
He's off the hype. Wow. All right, so Brandon Cooks of the Dallas Cowboys, formerly of half the leagues of the team. Headline, having a strong camp. I don't know what that means, but he's having a strong camp, Sean. Apparently, Cooks continues to show excellent chemistry with Dak Prescott during training camp. Joe Makata and Saad Youssef of The Athletic report. Like, the Cowboys add nothing, you know, to their offense. Obviously, Tony Pollard walks out the door. They don't add anybody significant, a wide receiver, a tight end. I mean, we all think CeeDee Lamb's going to return and be, obviously, the alpha of the offense, but, I mean... Off a season last year, Brandon Cooks has eight touchdowns. Is there any excitement there that maybe Brandon Cooks has some of that old Foreman left him and maybe kind of picks up the vacated targets, the empty space, and has a relevant season?
I am very hesitantly going to be on the hype train. The rare hesitant hype train entry because... So, a pessimist, you could say, well, of course he's having a good camp. CeeDee Lamb's not there. Who else
they gonna throw to? Yeah.
I say, is he not building chemistry with Dak Prescott that can carry on into the season as CeeDee Lamb is going to get doubled and tripled?
He's the wily veteran now.
Quadruple team because there's no one else on the Cowboys. I think there's a chance that Brandon Cooks can have a pretty good season this year. Maybe not the same touchdown.
Eight touchdowns was unexpected last
year.
Yeah,
but maybe more of a safety valve type, more heavier receptions and yards than touchdowns. Hype train.
Cammy jumping on. Come on, jump on the hype train.
About to leave the station.
it's kind of like the Trey McBride thing. I think Cooks is going to have a good year, but if Cooks is my third wide receiver on my fantasy team...
you're
going to
get him way late. Don't worry about that.
I'm not going to win anything. So,
where Cooks is going in the draft, I don't have the ADP in front of you, but it's late. We're talking double-digit rounds.
It's like fifth. It's like your fifth receiver.
Yeah, he's like your fifth.
Maybe your sixth.
Maybe a flex.
Yeah.
So
on a week with buys, he's your flex.
I guess I could be on his hype train then. If Brandon Cooks is my fifth receiver and has 800 yards and five touchdowns, I would be ecstatic.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Oh, my God! Woo!
I had to pause for that drop because it's awesome. Johnny, hit it one more time.
Oh, my God! Woo!
Woo! I am on the Brandon Cooks hype train. Look, this is a guy that's going into double-digit rounds, and we know he has a strong pass. I mean, he had 1,000 yards for the Saints, the Patriots, the Texans, the Rams. This is a guy that can get it done. There's a vacancy there in Dallas. He had 8 touchdowns last season. I don't think he's someone that you would ever want starting on a week-to-week basis, to Cam's point. Like, if he was your wide receiver 3, oh, crap, you got problems. But if he's going in the double-digit rounds as, like, your wide receiver 5 or 6, as an injury placement or someone when the bi-pocalypse hits that has to start your flex, sure, Brandon Cooks in the double-digit rounds, I'm all about that. All right, let's get out on the other side of the break. Sean Mapes has our big question. Last time, we got conspiracy theories. We talked about JFK. We talked about the moon landing. It was a fun time. What does he have in store for us this week? Find out when the Bullpen returns on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Welcome back into the Bullpen, ESPN Radio. We got 3 segments left for you. This segment, we're going to get into the big question. Sean has it this week. Next segment, of course, we have our Mount Rushmore Plus One, our award-winning, groundbreaking segment, Mount Rushmore Plus One. And we'll end the show, as we do every week, with our worst people in sports this week and what we loved in sports this week. But, Sean, the big question is yours, sir. What do you got for us?
The big question is, in fact, not a question. But I still want
intrigued.
You to intrigued. I want you to all answer it. Power rank the seasons for me.
Okay. So we're talking the fall, winter, summer. We're not talking sports, right? Okay.
I was like, season... What?
Season 20, one of, 24? Yeah.
That might be an idea for later.
Okay, I think...
I thought you said seasonings. Yeah.
I'm...
You can go that way, too. I'm interested.
Oh, seasonings?
No, well, no. He does...
Paprika, number one.
I didn't think this would be this confusing.
No, I'm with you. I'll go ahead and go first as Johnny and Cam were trying to catch up here talking about paprika.
Cayenne.
Cayenne, yeah. Turmeric is a big one. I think it's got to make the list. Number one for me, definitely fall. You got spooky season. You got football going on. The weather's better. For that reason, because a lot of these things also apply to that as well. Winter is number 2. Because I hate the heat, which is, kind of a problem when you live in Houston, Texas. But I hate the heat. So weather's better. You got football. You got the holidays. I like the fall winter themed foods. To me, are a little bit better than the summer stuff. Next spring, and that's you got the college basketball tournament. You got baseball coming back. Weather's still not bad. In last place, probably actually, I'm not even gonna put it fourth. I'm gonna put it like 97th summer. Summer can get bent. I hate it. Like there's nothing good about summer. Like all your TV shows are off. It's hot as hell. Like when you're a kid, the people you want to hang out with are on vacation with their families. The only sport going on is baseball, really. And they, especially when you get to July and you have the All-Star break, there's nothing going on. Yeah, I summer's last for me.
All right, Cam.
Well, I mean, you're in Houston, so I really think there's only 2 seasons, but...
Fair.
Fall by far is my favorite.
Time out. John, is fall your number one?
Yep.
Okay, so unanimous number one.
Yeah.
Fall. Yeah, it has to be. Fall.
Fall boys.
I'll go... Man, this is kind of tricky.
Workshop. Sorry, Sean.
It's almost like 2A, 2B for me. I'll go spring.
Okay.
And then winter. Man, that's hard. At any point, I feel like I could flip-flop those 2. And then, for sure, like you said,
summer sucks.
I hate the summertime. I mean, it was different when I had a lot more time off during the summer, but now, essentially, that I work through the year, summer means nothing to me, and I dread the heat. Doesn't matter how long I've lived in Houston, I still can't get down with it. So, yeah, I hate summer.
All right, John?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. My number one is going to be fall. Obviously, start of football season. I have winter at number two. I feel like as you go through fall, then you go to Thanksgiving and Christmas, there's good food, good vibes, good football, you know, NBA on Christmas Day. Like, there's lots of things to love about winter. Spring, obviously, number three. I think we're all going to have the same answer here.
Yeah, pretty much all have the same answer. Sean, are you any different?
I am different. I have winter
you
last.
All about hot boy summer?
Yeah, I have winter last. I'm not a big fan of winter.
That got Cam. I didn't think that was going to pop you that much, Cam.
Yeah, you got me.
Hashtag hot boy summer.
I fall again, unanimous number one. I think the depth of talent it has, the not just the star level talent, but
spooky season, baby.
I mean, it has everything you want.
Yes.
If you prioritize weather, it's got weather. I guess they all have weather. It has good weather. if you want a holiday, it has a inner circle holiday inside that month.
You could stop worrying about hurricanes.
Good call.
Yeah.
If you want to get technical too, Thanksgiving's also in fall.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is in fall.
It is in fall.
Yeah.
So you're getting two Mount Rushmore holidays.
Agreed.
Not to step on anyone's Mount Rushmore plus one.
Damn it, I got to redo my list.
But I think fall, and then you, of course, have the sports element where in October you have literally everything going on.
Orgasmic.
Yes. I got spring number two. A lot of the same reasons with the weather and just the overall coming out of winter. Maybe part of the reason spring is number two for me is because I have winter last, is because it is that, oh my God, we're done with winter feeling that you get with fall once probably March comes around. And yeah, then summer, I a little bit of a nostalgia play with summer. Having summers off when I was a kid. I still enjoy that. I personally feel more free in the summer. Feel like there's less pressure at work. Maybe it's just because of what we do, where it's like everyone kind of takes
vacation. There's less to talk about.
Yeah, everyone takes vacation in the fall anyway. And then, yeah, winter last sucks.
I think another reason why it's hard for me, like, I could put winter too, but also spring, is like I enjoy winter. Like, when I take vacations, a lot of times I like to go to, like, colder climates. Like, I love going to Colorado, but like, because winter there's stuff to actually do. When you're in Houston, there's nothing for you to do to take advantage of it being winter. So like, I enjoy, like John was saying, I enjoy like the things about winter, but there's just not a whole lot to like do with it here.
I also like the cold, like putting on like a big jacket to like go out. Like, I love that feeling.
We
just have so much heat here, oppressive heat, that I just love the cold.
I don't like. See, that's why I like fall though, is because it's just enough to.
It's
wear
like a mix,
where you wear a jacket, but
I don't need the cold. 30-degree weather. Like, just give me like the 50s and 60s, like high 50s, low 60s.
All right, next one. Maybe climate related. It's not actually climate related, but you can take it that way if you want. Next question. Would you rather go 100 years into the past or 100 years into the future?
Oh, in the past, because I love history and can read on how to survive and
prepare
myself.
I guess.
Plus, the future looks bleak.
I just picked 100 years just as a round number.
So we go into 1924?
World's Fair kicking off.
You big World's Fair guy, Sean?
You can hop in there and fit cotton candy before anyone else.
Yeah, like
a Model T Ford.
I guess a question on the clarity of the question. Like, are we going back and just like being able to visit, or like if we're going back to the past, could you actually change anything? Like
that changes things for me. That's
really
risky.
How does it change things?
Well, because me, I'd rather go in the future, to be honest. Because, like, if I go in the future, like, selfishly, like, if I go 100 years in the future, I could look up all the World Series Super Bowl winners for the next 100 years, and year by year, just bet on them and make tons of money.
So also, you're choosing Biff from Back to the Future 2?
Also, you can figure out, you know, how things end, and maybe you do a few things differently to maybe alter, you know, how things end, especially if you die too young.
You know what? Just for this, you're stranded in whatever you choose. So you can't go back.
Oh, so you go there and you're stuck. You're not going back. I still think I'm going future. Like, I mean, the past is – I get Cam's point. Like, I love being – I'm not Paul Gallant levels with my history buffness, but I do enjoy, like, learning about history. But like, I've already read about that stuff.
Actually, that's
like
actually
I can't read
point.
About what's going on in the future. Like the only way I can experience the technology that I'm going to be dead for, because I mean, obviously, I'm not living another 100 years.
Well, I'll
be lucky if I make it another 40. I would much rather like go ahead 100 years, because imagine just like in the last 30 years. Like all the things that we didn't have that we do have now. And then you get to add 100 years. So I'd rather know what that stuff is than go see the stuff from history that I've already read about.
Yeah, I'm actually going to change my answer. I'm going to go 100 years in the future because, to be honest, I don't want to die of typhoid fever at 27 in the 1920s. So.
You mean typhoid?
Typhoid. Tyrod
Tyrod Taylor fever?
I was trying to figure out what happened there.
It's like, wait, are you saying Tyrod?
Turns you into an average quarterback.
If you're saying Tyrod Taylor or Thyroid.
I did have Tyrod on the mind.
Journeyman backup quarterback. Yeah.
What are these symptoms of Tyrod fever? Do we have a
Getting
symptoms
stabbed in the chest?
Poor guy.
Hey, why did your Chargers have to try to kill Tyrod Taylor?
First off, it wasn't the Chargers. It was the doctor who they promptly let go.
Who was being paid by who, Cam?
The owner of the Chargers.
Okay, so it was the Chargers. The Chargers tried to kill Tyrod Taylor.
John, 100 years in the past or the future?
Yeah, I'm going future. I don't want to go back to the past simply for one reason. There's no internet in the past back in 1924. I want to see how AI destroys us going forward. Ooh. So I'm choosing the future.
So okay. You want to go forward and see...
Like iRobot.
Yeah, like Terminator.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Quick follow-up before you go to the next one, if you have another one. Is there going to be, if we fast forward 100 years, is there going to be a world to go to?
Because
John said, like, he wants to see how AI kills us. If AI kills us all, there's not going to be anything there when you go 100 years.
We're going to be on another planet.
I guess for the game to play, there has to be a destination.
you get Travis like, oh, well, this is unfortunate.
Yeah, there's no ozone. I'm just slowly suffocating. All right.
It looks like
I picked the future.
Yeah, if anyone's played the game Starfield, it looks just like Earth and Starfield.
Yeah, man,
except for a random cop. For some reason, in this world, like Earth has been destroyed, everyone has to move off Earth and go to distant planets. But you travel there at one point, and there's nothing there except for like a coffee cup randomly. Like why of all things did this coffee cup survive?
Hey, you're stuck there with the cockroaches and coffee cups and Twinkies. All because you didn't want to, I don't know, invent jazz in the 1920s. You didn't want to light a lamp.
And jazz sucks. I don't
Whoa!
Wanna, yeah,
Whoa.
I don't want to. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I guess it's not all bad. Like good jazz, that, like if I went to New Orleans or Chicago, and I think I would enjoy that, seeing it live. But some of it goes too far. Like the stuff that was used, do you remember the Homeland intro? Did you any of you guys watch Homeland? Okay, well, never mind.
It took me a second to realize what question you're asking me.
But anyway, they use jazz. The jazz they use in that intro is just, it's great. You got another question?
I do, but we can save it for another time.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We're up against it. We got to save time because there's another break. Mount Rushmore plus one. Welcome to the best part of your week in Houston. That on the bullpen when we return on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel,
these courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore plus one.
Welcome into the best part of your weekend, Houston, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. It is time for the groundbreaking, award-winning segment, the moment that changed the landscape of sports radio forever, Mount Rushmore plus one. We know main event Mapes is going to make, or...
What?
Main event Mapes is going to main event. I tried to say it so fast, I said main event Mapes is going to mape, which I don't know what that means. Maybe we'll find out in a future Mount Rushmore plus one. Cam, you want to kick us off. What is your Mount Rushmore plus one, sir?
My Mount Rushmore plus one is in honor of being at the bar the other day and witnessing...
And punching a punching bag?
No, absolutely not. I stay away from those.
Those are clowns.
And those bad boys. It was watching ESPN 8, The Ocho.
Oh, okay.
And seeing some of the most obscure sports that I think that you could find on there. So to kick us off, mullet championships. Hmm.
So this is what? They just show up and like, is it kind of like a mustache thing where they just have judges and they just grade your mullet? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like a body or like a bodybuilding bikini contest, whatever, except
sounds
for
like a good time.
You're judging.
John, you into the mullet competition?
I'd be a judge, yeah.
I would too.
Call me.
What bona fides do you need to be a judge?
Yeah, what's your resume look like? Yeah, like other experiences that relate to this
job.
Is
it like the slam dunk contest where Dominique Wilkins can be the judge forever because of what he did in the 80s?
Right,
yes.
Yeah. There's some guy,
he's bald now, but some old timer's like, no, you should have seen him back in his day.
Oh, can there be a mullet competition that's bald? Like, I don't know. Like,
sorry, did you say a bald competition?
Oh, do you think Dominique Wilkins can still dunk?
Yes.
Michael Jordan still can. I saw a video of it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He dunked at age 54 just recently.
Well, he's 6'6".
Interesting how
so.
I asked about Dominique Wilkins.
I'm changing the subject.
Yeah. But old guys Webb still dunk?
Well, no, because he's tiny.
Yeah, he can still be a dunk.
Tall guys can still dunk.
Clyde Drexler, can he still dunk?
I'm sorry. I respect the sanctity of the game, Sean. I want
Barry
my judges
dunk?
For the mullet competition to have hair. I respect the game, Sean. Okay. Cam, what's next?
Viable. Next one, slippery stairs. This is where...
What? That sounds like a lawsuit.
Well, it's not.
Or it's also the basis of a Netflix documentary.
It could be, actually. It is where the contestants dress up in full body suits, and they have to make their way up flights of lubricated stairs.
Hmm.
First one to the top that rings the bell wins.
Okay.
You know what? That actually kind of sounds fun.
I would do it.
If you're in a full body suit protected, I think I would do that.
I would do it, for sure. Next one, Stein holding. So this is a German sport.
Okay, so big beer stein, yeah.
Yeah, you have to hold up
you
out.
You got to hold up. How many Ben Steins can you hold?
Oh, God. I'd lose. You have to hold out a liter of beer, and the person that holds out the longest before dropping
this
it
is
wins.
Dumb. Like, I've seen competition, not just beer steins, but other competition where you just have to hold the object out until your arm gives out. Just dumb. Like the people that do that.
I would like it if it was how many you can hold.
Yeah, that would be more fun.
A waitress at Oktoberfest.
Yeah, that would be more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it'd be fun if, like, you could hold one out and your other hand, you're like, you know, you can.
No, that just sounds like you're going to end up on the injured list. You're going to wake up with, you're going to sleep on your elbow wrong.
You only Stein hold once. What are you going to do? I mean, next one. This is the one that I personally witnessed on the TV. Car jitsu.
Huh.
So
you're gonna have to explain this one. I assume jitsu like jujitsu, but with a car.
So
how do you do jujitsu with a car?
Me and my best friend were watching this for like 10 minutes, trying to figure out exactly what the point was. We thought that at first there's a guy in the driver's seat and passenger seat.
Yep.
And we thought the point was you had to cross over, and the first person to get out of the opposing window won. That's not the case.
Are they fighting while this is going on?
They're like shoving and like hand grappling, essentially. Turns out you actually win and get points by submitting the opponent with the seatbelt.
Oh!
So they
choke dudes out with the seatbelt?
Yes.
So it's like an action movie scene?
That's
literally.
I've seen that in a movie.
Yeah.
And Deadpool's on her screen. I saw that in Deadpool.
Yeah. This dude literally had the seatbelt around this other dude's like throat with his legs like twitching in like the air before he tapped out.
That sounds like a sport that borderlines on murder. Like it's getting really close.
It was
UFC.
It was wild. Yeah.
If you can't handle the heat, stay out of the kitchen.
That's
B-Mac.
A good point, Johnny. That's a good point. I back down. Johnny's
so,
right.
So, do they question one? And there will be a question two. Do they have weight classes?
From
what you could gather.
From what we gathered, no. It was like teams of five. You start, there's a judge.
I don't think weight is an advantage in this, though, because you're dealing in small places.
Leads to my second question.
Okay.
Are there, I guess, different classifications for the cars, where there's a sedan edition? There's a
good question.
Edition.
We were curious. We were like,
Escalade edition.
That's what we thought the weight classes might be. It's like you got like a Fiat, then you go up to a Camry, Then you got like a little Subaru Forester, then the Escalade. Like, how, what are we working with?
But no, sponsorship opportunities are limitless.
It looked like they were just in a regular four-door Kia, just grappling.
I can see it being pretty... Budget comes into a serious. You run into issues.
Last one, tire wrestling. So this is where they take two of those like ginormous, looks like little monster truck tires. There's two of them, and essentially you are wrestling around the tires, and you have to essentially dunk the other person into the tires.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like kind of reverse sumo wrestling. Where you're trying to get people out of a ring.
Yeah.
And this one you're trying to get people in a ring.
And it was crazy because it was literally carjitsu for an hour and then tire wrestling. So, like, we were very entertained.
Was it the same competitors in both?
It was not.
It's like the decathlon?
No, the tire wrestlers were a little larger than the carjitsu or carjitsu opponent.
I could definitely see that. I could see that.
All right, my Mount Rushmore plus one in honor of Alex Bregman telling us he hurt himself. Sleeping are the dumbest, weirdest injuries that I've ever heard of in Major League Baseball. Number one, let's start off with the Astros. Let's keep it here in H-Town. Let's localize it and give a tie to Lance McCullers getting hit on the elbow by a champagne bottle in 2022.
Yeah.
And Carlos Correa telling the world that he hurt his ribs from a massage that I guess was too aggressive.
Yeah.
That was both ways. Like, the kind of spirit of this list is like, they're telling us something so weird and so embarrassing that it has to be true. The story they're making, they wouldn't make... If they were going to go with a lie, this ain't it.
I believe the McCullers one. I don't...
You don't believe the Carlos Correa one?
I don't really think the Carlos Correa one's accurate.
Yeah, but he was out for a while, too.
He's out for a while.
The ribs.
Daniela has that tough...
Was someone, like, walking across his back? Like, I don't know what happened there. Yeah, but McCullers and... I mean, go figure. Lance McCullers and Carlos Correa. Those two guys are the ones that have the weird injuries.
Like, start.
That fits with their profile. Jose Quintana, the pitcher, he's been all across the major leagues. He once cut his hand in 2020 while washing dishes and missing time.
When he was with the White Sox?
Might have been. Yeah, it was actually during COVID. He was at home, like, washing dishes and cut his hand and had to miss time. I don't know how aggressively you guys wash dishes, but that's never been a problem, washing dishes, cutting my hand.
Imagine that phone call to the team.
Skip, I cut my hand. Oh, how? Like, what happened? See, I was washing this bowl, right? My salad bowl.
Has to be a knife.
It has to be. Maybe. He probably tried to dry the knife with the blade in down and cut himself. That's idiot.
Well, that's still dumb, either way.
Have you never worked in a restaurant, professional baseball player?
Probably not. I don't think he has.
Oh, yeah.
Next one, Jeremy Edfelt, the pitcher, once cut his hand trying to separate frozen burger patties and missing time.
That I don't understand.
But I get they stick. Sometimes the frozen things will stick together really hard.
Hurt yourself.
But how do you cut yourself?
Yeah.
Unless you just get like a little spatula and like wedge it in there and they pop apart or something.
Unless those patties had like ice. What is it? Ice. What do they call it?
Icicles.
Ice freeze or whatever.
Freezer burn.
Freezer burn. But at that point, it's like you should notice that and not eat those patties. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I can't imagine. I can't imagine cutting my hand on frozen burgers.
That's another one where I don't love the fact this guy's eating frozen burgers. But that's like a second issue upon the team.
On his scouting report, it's like, he eats frozen hamburgers? Yeah. Like, come on, bro. You're in the major leagues. Like, can we advance past frozen burgers? Joel Zamaya, the former pitcher for the Tigers. Yeah. You remember this one, Sean?
Yeah.
Cam and John, do you know this one? Either of you? Okay. So what Sean already knows, Joel Zamaya, this is way back, like 2009. Once injured his wrist, missed three games from playing Guitar Hero.
He was like kind of never the same after that.
Yeah, yeah. I was into Guitar Hero back in the day. Who wasn't? If you're at least of a certain age back at that time. But it was just a little button that you're pressing. Like, how do you injure your wrist from that? Like, are you full on like trying to strum it and be a badass?
Yeah, he's probably really
doing the windmill strum like you're Pete Townsend or something. That is just
wait. He hurt his ribs?
No, wrist. Yeah, because when you held it, you're just flicking your thumb. Like your fingers are up here on the fret,
this motion.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he was trying to overdo it for sure. And last one of the embarrassing way Major League Baseball players have hurt themselves. Clint Barnes of the Rockies. I don't know if any of you know this story, but he once fell broke his collarbone, missed a couple months because he was trying to carry deer meat given to him by teammate Todd Helton.
I mean, that one I am.
You've been there before? Yeah. You've broken your collarbone trying to carry deer meat from Todd Helton?
Yeah, from Todd Helton. Yeah.
Better than trying to split two frozen burgers.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably the worst one. I don't know. Guitar Hero might be worse. That might be the worst one on this list.
No, but Guitar Hero is fun. I mean, that's why is true. A major league player eating frozen patties? That's the worst one.
That's really bad. There's so many more on this list. I mean, like Sammy Sosa once went on the injured list because of a sneeze that was too hard. Mm. There's so many more that I wish I could get to, but we're running out of time. And we got to save time because it's time for Main Event Mapes.
Main Event Mapes. My Mount Rushmore this week is in honor of the preseason in the NFL, where hope springs eternal. And every fan of every team thinks, you know what, this guy could be the next superstar for our team.
Okay.
This is the Mount Rushmore plus one of Houston Texans. I thought we're going to be awesome.
I like this.
And during this part of the calendar?
Not specific. A lot of it is actually they were good. And then I was like, boom, just found a superstar. And then actually they're only good for 1 year.
Mm.
Or guys that I was always kept a little bit of hope that, oh, no, this year he's going to put it all together.
I'm going to write down a name because I think there's an obvious like, almost one-on-one to me that I'm curious to see that it has to be on this list. But go ahead and start your list as I write this down and I can show it to you after you say it.
Number one on this list, Brooks Reed.
Okay, not on my list, but yeah, that's a good one.
I thought Brooks Reed and J.J. Watt, I was like, boom, nailed the draft.
Yeah, well, he was a second-round pick, I think, out of Arizona.
I believe he was a second-round
pick. Yeah, he looked good, I thought, early in his career. I thought he was going to be pretty good, too.
That was one of the first Texans jerseys I bought.
You got a Brooks Reed jersey.
He was better than Watt for most of that season, and then Watt was obviously awesome in the playoff game.
Yeah.
And then won three Defensive Player of the Years in 4 years.
You know, no big deal.
Yes, J.J. Watt will not be on this list. Although I did think he was going to be good after he was already good. Number two, another rookie year, and I thought gravy train's going to roll on forever. Steve Slayton.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, there it is. I knew it. Yeah, Steve Slayton was, I thought, the most odd. He had, you might have the stats
in front of me.
But he had like a 1,300-yard season.
1,282 and 9 touchdowns.
1,282 and 9. And he did some work in the receiving game, too. I was like, this guy is amazing. Coming out of West Virginia, where he was awesome there, too. It wasn't like it came out of complete nowhere. He was a good player in college. And then nothing after his rookie season.
Never mind. He was probably the first huge breakout that Gary Kubiak had at running back.
Yeah, because that's pre-Foster.
Yeah, and I was going to say, basically the career that Arian Foster had, I thought Steve Slayton was going to have.
No, absolutely the same.
It's just going to be Arian Foster.
Yeah.
Next on my list, another one of that era. And this one's less of what he did on the field, but just more some facts about him.
Okay.
Amobi Okoye.
I never thought he was going to be good.
Mr. 16 in college. Yeah.
That's why. I was like, wait until he becomes
a
grown man.
Wait until he gets his man body.
Yeah. this guy's a sophomore in college. He's the age of someone who's a sophomore in college. And
wait until he actually hits a weight room with his man body.
And any sack you got, you're like, man. Just another year or two.
This guy's going to have a 20-year career.
In an NFL weight room? Are you kidding me? Never really. I think he was only a pro for like 6 years.
Yeah, none of it was really good.
No, he was retired by 27.
Yeah. God, wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. He'd already be done. We'd all be done.
Yeah, John,
would you be done?
With what? I'm sorry?
If you retired at 27, would you already be done? I don't know how old you are.
I'm 30.
Okay, so we'd all be done.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Next on my list, James Casey, tight end.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good
from
one.
Rice.
He
was good enough for a couple splash plays, or not splash plays, but where the like leak out the backside plays.
He just looked the part.
Didn't they play him at fullback too?
He played a little fullback.
Yeah. If you had to design like what a tight end looked like, just the body types, like James Casey just fit that. He looked like just a physical specimen.
Last but not least, and probably is the last time I believe a college quarterback moving to wide receiver would be successful, Braxton Miller.
Knew it. That was the one.
I am forever out on, yes, he was a college quarterback, but they're going to move to receiver.
I remember seeing one, they posted like a hype video of him doing like a Euro step off the line where he got like this crazy separation. I remember seeing that. I was like, I'm in. Look at this guy's footwork. He's going to do it. And yeah, nothing.
You think Bill O'Brien might have?
DeVere Posey.
You think Bill O'Brien might have had something to do with that? Not playing rookies, not believing in rookies, not giving them a real chance.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, John. Back to back AFC South champs.
All right, we got to get out. We are a little bit over this segment. That's okay. Mount Rushmore plus one is worth going over for. We got to finish up here on the final segment for the week with our worst person in sports this week and what we love from sports this week. When ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5, the bullpen returns.
ESPN. 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome back into the Bullpen as the Texans game has reached Matt Schaub in the booth part of the game. You know all the important stuff is going on in the game when, well, let's not show the accent. Let's show Matt Schaub standing next to John Harris.
In a blue polo shirt.
Yeah, in a blue polo. Yeah, so, if you're still watching the Texans game, one, why? And two, you're probably not hearing this because you're watching the Texans game. But, all right, we got about 6 minutes left. We'll have to be quick here, but let's get into the worst people in sports this week. Cam, who is your worst person in sports this week?
Noah Lyles.
No. I mean, you can elaborate some.
Okay. I don't know, man. That I thought the name just alone would explain it.
He gave me like one sentence.
I don't know, man. That dude irks me more than a disobedient, snot-nosed 5-year-old that I have to work with.
Wow.
I mean, the fact that, awesome, you won a gold medal in the 100. There was no sickness. No COVID inclination in that one. But then you get third in the 200, and all of a sudden you have COVID. But then a few days later, you're partying in the club without a mask. And then you want to talk trash about Anthony Edwards because he got a massive Adidas deal. And this is also after you've already talked about how you're not impressed with, like, what was his remarks about Olympic men's basketball? Like,
oh, they're not world champions.
They're not world champions. It's just like, this dude is such a hater. On another level, like, I don't understand where it's coming from, man. Like, of course Anthony Edwards is going to get a massive shoe deal. Everybody knows who Anthony Edwards is. Like,
we only learn about you every 4 years.
Yeah. Exactly. So that is by far my worst person.
He might be the new Paul Pierce of this.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. Paul Pierce has his jersey retired and worst person in sports. Yeah. All right, my worst person in sports, I'll let the audio speak for itself, but Tom Brady... for some reason, and although today didn't really help his case, or didn't really help my case for worst person, decided to take a right turn and throw some shade at Daniel Jones.
Horrible. Like, I just can't say that on TV.
Why not?
Well, because there's parents and, you know, there's parents and there's family members, and I don't want to always necessarily say it in that way.
Okay.
But I think if I was doing it myself, and let's say I threw a really bad interception, I would walk to the sidelines and I said, you are the worst quarterback in the world. How can you possibly make that throw? That was terrible. But I just don't want to be so critical because in some ways I don't necessarily know exactly what the problem was on that play. If, let's say, Daniel Jones throws an interception. I didn't mean to say it like that.
So they ask him, like, you know, how are you going to handle being critical on TV? And he decides to take that moment. He's like, let's get a shot in here on Daniel Jones. Just the complete drive-by. Now, Daniel Jones today throwing some picks. So maybe, look, maybe my bad, Tom. You were right. But I was like, come on, Tom. Like, Daniel Jones is, like, sitting at home. He's got Kay Adams blowing up his phone because he's got the new beard going. She apparently finds it attractive. And you're just going to throw some stray bullets his way, take a side swipe at him. Like, what do you want to do as a broadcaster? Well, Daniel Jones, when he throws picks, like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Hey, John, your worst person in sports?
Not something Indy Kalu was doing when he's throwing picks the entire first half. My worst person in sports this week, I don't know who to blame, the Houston Astros or Alex Bregman, but the messaging around the injury. Hey, listen, you got hurt. Nothing I can do about that. It's been that kind of year for the Astros. They basically dropped the "we need to talk" text and to the entire fan base. Just don't make him available. Just don't make him available. Don't go.
We're not going to believe anything you say at this point, Astros. Just tell us when he's back.
Or just don't have him play on last night and then have post-game Joe Espada just be like, yeah, wasn't feeling great.
He's a little sore. We'll see how he feels in the morning. Yeah.
Not an issue. But we had to do two segments of, oh, my God, is he going to need Tommy John surgery?
All right, so let's quickly doggy paddle over to the Sea of Tranquility and we're done with the anger sharks. Good. So we're in the Sea of Tranquility. We're doggy paddling around, talking about the things we love from sports. We got to be quick. We got 2 minutes. I'll quickly say Chris Jones deciding that he's going to pay the $1.5 million in chicken wings that a woman sold so she could be set free and not have to serve her 9-year jail sentence. Chris Jones, you're an American hero,
man,
sir.
Of the people.
Yes. Sean, what you love from sports this week?
Nick Cage playing John Madden in a biopic coming
up. Can I tell you, not a criticism, but Nick Cage wasn't the first person to pop to mind when I thought John Madden casting.
Neither. Same with me. However, I am intrigued.
I am very intrigued.
And I'm also just glad that we are going to get a John Madden biopic.
Hell yeah.
It feels a little overdue for that.
Oh, for sure. Cam, what'd you love from sports this week?
I'm going to go with Houston and Texas in general when it comes to the Olympics. Texas alone had 18 gold medals, which ranked would have been third, like tied for third amongst all the countries that competed, and 41 total medals, which was more than like Japan.
So you're saying we should
Italy. Succeed
and be our own country? I got you, Cam.
Texas
all right,
be
that'll
their
do
own
it for
country
the
in the Olympics.
Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Sorry, Cam. I had to try to strange you on Hot Take Island. Cam wants to secede from the Union. That'll do it for the bullpen.
No.
Be back next week. Have a good week in Houston. Go Texas.
Daniel Jones throws an interception.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.